mentioned, I'm from the University of Waterloo, and I'd also like to acknowledge the other people who have helped me with this project. Dr. Maren Oberman, who's also from the University of Waterloo, and Claudia Sepulveda and Muhammad Ibrahim, and they're from Cati in Costa Rica. So, as mentioned, I'm talking about the perceptions and technological innovations for adaptation to climate change, and the case study is focusing on two communities in Costa Rica. The one that's going to be most prevalent throughout this presentation is going to be Esparza, which is near Punta Arenas on the Pacific coast of Costa Rica in the north. And the other area I'll be talking about briefly is near Buenos Aires in the southern part of Costa Rica. So just to give a bit of background about climate change in Costa Rica, climate change is going to be affecting this area. There's going to be an increase of rainfall variability, an increase in temperature, and an increase in the number of extreme weather events. So during the dry season, it may be much more drier than normal, and during the wet season, there may be more intense rains, or the other way around, it may be much drier during the wet season or much wetter during the dry season. And that's throwing farmers off in terms of how they're planting their crops, how their crops are surviving the dry season and the wet season. Agriculture is a significant part of Costa Rica. There's quite a few things they produce, coffee, pineapples, bananas, etc. 20% of the population is involved in agriculture, and it makes up about 9% of the country's gross domestic product, so it is fairly significant. Just some bit of background about Cati. It's a school located in Turrialba, and that's about an hour out of San Jose. It's a graduate studies and research institute focusing on master's and PhD program, and they focus specifically on agriculture in tropical areas. They're well recognized for their research, and a portion of their research goes towards looking at the effects of climate change on agriculture, adaptation strategies, and developing programs to help farmers. So the research questions for this study are, what are the climatic changes being observed by agricultural producers, specifically in Esparza? So I was interested in looking at what different organizations are saying, what different models are saying, and what farmers are actually observing in their region. How the farmers' perceptions of climate change is influencing how they're adapting to climate change. So whether or not they feel if climate change is happening, if that strengthens how well they're adapting, if they are able to adapt, or if they don't believe in climate change, how that's influencing it. As well as how effective are the adaptation strategies being developed by Cati. So they have several programs in place to help farmers adapt. Are they effective? Are they getting out to the farmers? So this is the study area. This is the Pacific Ocean here, and the green areas represent the farms in the region. And the study area is approximately 87 kilometers squared, and it covered the areas of Esparza, Montes Doro, and a part of Punta Arenas. The number of farmers participating in the study being done by Cati is around 130 or 140 farmers, and I surveyed 50 of those farmers for this project. And the farmers were involved with meat and milk and mixed agriculture practices, so it's pretty mixed. So as mentioned, my surveys were given to 50 farmers, and there were two groups, one who received payment for environmental services and one who received payment for environmental services and technical assistance. The reason I chose the payment for environmental services program is because a lot of the environmental services that they implement also serve as adaptation strategies. So agroforestry serves as an environmental service. It also helps farmers adapt to climate change in that it provides shade for the animals, the roots provide soil erosion prevention, and then there's water conservation strategies. Again, that helps the farmers adapt to climate change and drier conditions, as well as providing an environmental service of protecting water sources. So this is why I focused on the payment for environmental service system. I interviewed the farmers based on that. So my methodology involved reading through the academic journals, reading through CATI's literature to see what strategies were available and are available to farmers to be adapting to climate change. And then I took that information, went out, and surveyed the farmers to determine whether or not they knew about these strategies, if they were implementing them, if they found them easy to implement, and what limitations they had come across. And my survey consisted of looking at the background and experience that had not already been collected by CATI researchers, their observations and perceptions about climate change, the effects they've observed on climate change on their agricultural production, and the adaptation strategies, if any, they've implemented. So some of my results, the most interesting result was the Brachyaria grass species used to replace the H. rufa. And the literature talked about it being much more drought tolerant than the natural grass. The high protein content was more easily digested by cattle. It resisted trampling, suppresses weeds, and also acts as a carbon sink. So the carbon sink was really what made it an environmental service. But the fact that it prevents erosion, it suppresses weeds, and it has a high protein content helps farmers use it to adapt to climate change. In a drier season, they need to eat less to still get the same or more protein. And 100% of the farmers I surveyed were using this grass and were finding it very useful. All of the farmers mentioned that it was more drought resistant, so this was something that they really emphasized as an important part of using this grass. They also found that it supported many more animals than the naturalized pastures. And again, a high number saw that there was less erosion, produced more forage, produced more milk and meat, and I'll talk about that a bit more in the next slide. And the calves were in better condition. So 60% of the farmers who were involved in the milk production saw an increase in milk production during the dry season, even in extreme dry seasons, they saw an increase of milk production when using this grass. And the increase in milk production averaged 25%, and one farmer observed up to 70% in milk production, which is pretty significant. Some of the other adaptation strategies that they talked about using that had been developed by CATI involved the use, or not necessarily developed by CATI, but encouraged by CATI and tried in the involved in the programs that they were trying to use to integrate into the farming community, were the use of supplements, the natural water protection. One farmer had a big tank and they were capturing water from the rainfalls that happened and storing that for their animals, planting trees, agroforestry for wood, shade, and fruit, and then some of the other less significant involved seed banks, using animals that were more resistant to drought and suppressing fires. So the programs being put in place by CATI and the programs that they're using to integrate into the farming community are very successful for the farmers that they're working with. This is where my other community came in, and that's Buenos Aires. They were working with the farmers in Esparza. Buenos Aires is much poorer, it has fewer resources. And they were not as well off. They had no idea about the Brachyaria grass, and they were not adapting as well. But the producers involved in the program are becoming more knowledgeable. Most of them seem to have an idea of what it was, and they could describe what climate change was and how it was affecting their farm, and they are having success. 86% of those farmers from Esparza mentioned that income is one of the primary limitations, and 84% mentioned capacity to adapt. And again, that echoes in what I saw in Buenos Aires, where they don't have the capacity to that, they don't have the resources, and they don't have the money. So this information is being used where farmers have the money and have the capacity, but in the areas that they don't, it's not funneling down. And the wealthier farmers are finding it easier to adapt than the less wealthy. So this grass species should be made available to all farmers, and they should be encouraged to use it. economic incentives should be put in place to encourage farmers to adapt to climate change and use adaptation strategies. And this could be worked through with the Payment for Environmental Services program. Part of the problem with that program is that if the farmer doesn't own the land, then they can't access the program, whereas farmers who do own the land can. And that's a significant downfall because a lot of the poorer farmers don't own the land, so they don't have access to this. So making this program more accessible to farmers and encouraging government and academic institutions to work with local farmers, not necessarily in the richer areas, but more so in the poor areas as well, to teach them how to adapt and to work on integrating this into their program. And that's it. The ones who aren't involved are not really adapting in terms of the research area I looked at. The ones who were involved were adapting and were very knowledgeable. Buenos Aires, the farmers in that area, they were not involved in that program, and many of them barely knew what climate change was, and they were basically just trying to get by.
Has even served the additional purpose of being public education about climate change? Is that the?
Yes, like information, more information is made available to them. Again, the focus is on, like for the PES system, it's more associated with aesthetics and improving water quality and biodiversity, but there is the climate change aspect in there, and that information. Farmers involved seem to know much more about climate change as a result of being part of that program than farmers who are not. Yep. Well, in terms of the Brachyeria species, they didn't really require many more inputs than the H. rufa, which was an advantage to using it. It is native to tropical areas, not to Costa Rica, but farmers found that they weren't using any more resources, and it was actually more tolerant to the conditions in Costa Rica. They were noticing changes in the weather patterns, but they weren't really sure why. The ones I talked to were saying that, yeah, we noticed that this past year was much drier and that we've had, because I went during the rainy season when I was talking to them, and they were mentioning that the rains this season were much more intense, but they didn't really understand why. And they were just basically trying to come up with makeshift strategies to get through that.
And then the farmers knew about climate change, they really knew the system and how it
works? Many of them did. Many of them were talking about, because the questions I asked were, do you know what causes climate change, and what is climate change, and how is it affecting your farm? And a lot of them talked about it's caused from, like, there are some natural processes involved. There's also some human-induced involved, caused from industries and automobiles and that kind of stuff. And it's happening globally, and it's impacting the global weather. So they're using quite a few sort of more technical words when describing it. Yes.
Thank you very much indeed, Karen. And I'd like to thank all of the speakers, all four speakers this morning. Four we didn't have time to get questions to, so please, if you have questions for Paul, stay. neon colors about the building. So thank you all.